Hi, Larry. How's the sound? Better? A little better? Better?
Perfect now.
Oh, perfect. Okay, I have a better microphone, and I'm sorry about the inconvenience.
No problem.
Okay, so anyways, you're saying that the lifestyle over there, you have to kind of, you know, look at the situation and say that you can't live in luxury on $1,000 a month, but you can live pretty good.
Yeah, you can live decent. You know, it's like living on $3,000 a month in the States.
Okay. So you go over there and you get a lot of emails from people. I mean, just, you know, you got a lot of positive responses from your book. And I like the fact that, Larry, I'm repeating this again, but I bought your ebook, and I will say that you're honest about it. You're not portraying this as the perfect situation. You're showing all the negatives as well as the positives. So the positives are that it is cheaper to live over there.
Of course, it's much cheaper to live here, yeah.
Okay, right. Of course, provided you have an income.
You know, I mean, I can give you a scenario if you want, you know.
Yeah, I'd like to hear a scenario because I want to be more clear. I mean, I'm looking to come over there too, so I want to know the details because 100 other people listening to this interview want to hear this detail.
Okay.
And they want to hear what exactly they can expect if they plan their trip to the Philippines, other than the passports, the typical thing you go do. But what exactly can they expect financially?
You want to come here for, like, let's say a year, something like that, or a few
months?
Yeah,
let's say you do it for a year. Okay, you're going to do it for a year.
Okay. Well, the first thing is, what do you need to pay for an apartment? Now, of course, it depends to some extent on where you go. Some places are more expensive than others.
Right.
If you go in Manila, you're going to pay a hell of a lot more
right.
than if you go out in the sticks in the province.
Right.
Or if you go to Cebu, it's going to be cheaper than Manila, but more expensive than other places. If you go just to a typical medium-sized city or something, or maybe not the most expensive place in Cebu, and you're not looking for luxury, but you're looking for something okay, maybe you're going to pay 5 or 6,000 a month for a small, 5 or 6,000 pesos I'm talking about.
Okay.
For a small but reasonable apartment.
Okay.
So let's say 6,000. So that's about $150 a month.
Oh my God, that's cheap.
That's what you're looking at for your apartment.
Okay.
Now, let's say you want to talk, now what else do you need to live? You need food.
Okay. Let's say we want to, okay, let's go buy your book. You talked about having a maid or a woman live with you. Technically, if you had a maid living with you, she could be a live-in lover that's a maid too. Is that correct?
Well, I don't think it's a good idea to mix that.
Is that expression, don't shit where you eat type of situation?
Don't shit in your own backyard? I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. Okay, so you have a maid come in. She can
because what's going to happen is if you mix that in, you're going to lose. She's not going to want to be. She's not going to have that fear of losing her job as a maid. You know what I mean? If you're a lover with her and you say, can you do this? Can you do that? She's going to say, oh, I'm tired or blah, blah, blah. She's not going to have the respect for you that a regular maid would.
Okay.
Or a regular helper.
So, you know,
I don't think it's a good idea to mix it.
There's a control fact. You have to let her know her place in society, right?
Yeah, that doesn't mean you have to be mean or
No, I'm not saying that you have to beat her up with a whip or anything, but you basically have to tell her that your job is to be my, you know, to work for me and there's nothing else.
Well, that's what she expects. I mean, it's not like you have to tell her when they're a helper. They'd accept that as that's their place.
Okay.
But if all of a sudden you started being a lover to her, I think you would lose that. You would lose that that relationship and you would lose your ability to have what you want from her as a maid.
Well, then, you can always fire her. You can always tell her, look, girl, you're on your way out. You could fire her, too.
Well, also, if you liked her as a lover, you could change the relationship. She's your girlfriend, and you get another maid.
Right, exactly. So you're looking at $150 in American dollars a month to live there in, let's say, Manila, you're saying, or like a smaller
city? No. Manila's going to be vastly more expensive.
Oh, vastly more expensive. Yeah,
maybe three. You know, if you live in the heart of Manila, in Makati or someplace like that, you know, you're talking almost like the United States. Not quite.
Wow. Well, how the hell do normal Filipinos survive there?
You know, it's a kind of a good question because I've never really done a study to figure out exactly how, you know, everybody survives. I mean, a lot of people in the Philippines.
They don't survive on credit cards, that's for sure.
They have better job. You know, you make more money if you're in the Philippines. There's a lot of call center. I mean, in Manila, yeah, there's a lot of call centers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the Filipinos, they don't live like in their own apartment. They'll share an apartment with, you know, five or six or seven or even 10 other people like that.
Doesn't lead for a very good sex life, that's for sure.
No, that's a big problem for them. I mean, you know, yeah, that's 100% true.
Yeah.
You know, that's why they have these drive-in motels in the Philippines.
Oh, okay.
Which are just designed for sex, basically. You drive in, it's by the hour, and a lot of Filipinos that don't have privacy, they go to those places.
I see. Okay, so you live in, let's see, the outskirts. You're paying $150 a month. You've got, okay, let's go on with the rent. How about the food situation? You're going to cook for yourself, or are you going to go out to eat every day?
Well, that's going to make a pretty big difference in how much you pay right there. I mean, if you're going to eat out every day and you're going to eat at a nice place, that's going to add a lot of cost. I mean, not a real lot of cost, but
of course,
it's going
to add. Not to mention taking family members, girls' family members out to eat too.
Right. I mean, let's say you make a rule to yourself. If you go out on a date, I'll take her to a restaurant, but otherwise, I'm going to eat at home. Now, it can actually save you money to get a maid, okay, to get a helper. I like to call her a helper. It's politically more political.
Yeah, right, helper, yeah, okay.
Okay. If you get a helper, depending, it can actually save you money. Because you can get one that knows how to cook, and you can have her go to the market every day. You can buy food cheap, and you can have her cook a decent meal, and she's going to wash the clothes, so you don't have to bring your clothes to the laundromat. I mean, a helper will actually save you money.
Right.
But the disadvantage is the lack of is it also costs you privacy.
Okay, because of course in your book you said that she needs a place to stay, and you're going to kind of fund that situation. But then
she's going to stay with you.
Yeah, but she's not going to bring guys over there either, is she?
No, of course not. That would be unacceptable.
Yeah, I was going to say, because, you know, so in other words, does she get jealous if you have a woman over there?
Well, no, I don't think so. I mean, that's not her place to get jealous. So,
well, it's not her place, but doesn't mean that American women wouldn't be that way.
No, I can't say that none of them will, but I would say in general, no, that wouldn't, that's why you don't want to mix things, because you want to keep it separate. She's your helper, and if you want to bring somebody over, that's not her problem. That's not her concern.
Mm.
If you are going to have a helper, it's nice if you can get a place that's a little bigger so that you can, so that you have a place for her and a place for you. If you just
So $300 a month, you get her own special room. You make the rules and you tell her, look, I'm going to be meeting women, and you have your own room. You just do your own thing, okay? Give her own little mini refrigerator. She can make her own meals. That would be a good scenario.
I don't see anybody give them their own refrigerator, but yeah, that you could basically say, you know, if I bring a woman over, I don't want you. I want you. Not in the picture unless I ask for you or something like that. You could say that. You could make any rules you want.
Well, I don't know. For a guy that's been married for 9 years, I don't know. Am I asking the right questions? I mean, you talk to a lot of expats, so I'm assuming you are giving me the right information, you know, because you've been married, you know, you've been married to the same woman for 9 years. So it's a little bit different. Am I right?
Yeah, but I could answer your questions for sure. But, I mean, you know, I know how it all works. But, you know, again, it all, you know, in terms of the price, it all depends on what you want and how much luxury you want. But I think, let me just say where I think you're coming from. Let's say you're trying to figure out how much money you're going to spend.
By the way, Larry, I'm not cheap. I'm very generous, okay? I have no problem tipping 20% in restaurants. I give money to charity. But the point is that I need to know this, because my listeners need to know what they're going to be up against in this financial. This is an interview that's going to be based on the economics of living in the Philippines. Let's just get down to it.
Okay. You know, like I said, it all depends on how much money you have to spend. But let's just say, you know, you want to come here and you want to live an okay life. You don't want to spend a lot of money because you don't have it, but you want to live reasonable and you want to have a girlfriend. Let's just take it from there. Basically, I can go into the details, but basically you're talking about $1,000 a month.
Okay, $1,000 a month. But is that typical of what you'd cost in the United States? You could live on $1,000 a month if you live in certain parts of the United States. If you live in a poor section of Columbus, Ohio, I know you could live on $1,000 a month.
It wouldn't be typical. It wouldn't be typical. See, the thing is, if you want girl, you're coming here because you're not coming here to be miserable, right?
No, but I'm looking at the situation. If you're sexually starved, you haven't had a woman in years, and your last girlfriend you've been with 5 years ago broke up with you and is dating bad boys. I guess what I'm getting at, Larry, is the theme of your book is ultimately finding love and romance in the Philippines. Yes, economically it stinks to be poor, but having a woman and maybe not having it as economically good, it might be better than being a rich guy with a good paying job that can't get laid or get a woman if his life depended on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're looking at two extremes here. Okay. I mean, you have to look at it from this perspective because my listeners are tired of the dating scene. They're tired of this bullshit of having good paying jobs, having master's degrees, living, out of state, and ultimately still getting rewards for their hard work.
Okay. The thing is, okay, when you talk about the $1,000 a month, okay, that's including the fact that you want to have women, okay? Now, if you want to take women out of the equation, yeah, you can probably live on $500 a month, okay? But if you want to put women back in the equation, you can't be totally cheap and come across.
I'm not saying that, Larry. I totally disagree. I agree with that. I don't believe that any guy should be cheap because I think being cheap almost deviates from the laws of nature, which is goodness, which is we have to be generous in order to get what we give out is what we get back. In the United States, you buy women, you spend tons of women money on women, you don't get back what you give in. Do you agree on that?
Well, it depends. You know,
unless
I don't
got a lot of money, unless you want to deal with gold diggers that are only a minority of the American women, yeah, sure, you can spend a lot of money on them and get something back. But I'm saying that, I'm really looking at the Philippines from a perspective of, let's look at the economic second, but we have to take it into consideration. But the women issue is a big issue. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. It's an issue.
That's what I'm trying to get across. You start off and you say, okay, let's say you don't want women. So just hear me out for a second. You say, okay, I'm not worried about women. So how much can I live for? So you can come here and you can live a basic life, for $500 a month. Not a good life, but a basic life. Now you say, okay, but I want women. I want women. I came to the Philippines because I want women. That's going to add at least $500 to your expense. I mean, you've got to go out on dates. You've got to take them. They're going to want a little bit of spending money. They're going to want, you've got to treat them right. So I'm saying if you're talking to your listeners and your listeners want to know what's the minimum I need to come to the Philippines and have a good love life, my answer is $1,000 a month.
Okay, $1,000. Okay, we're clear on that. Okay, so if I can make – if let's say I create a product on the internet and I'm making $1,000 a month, I can live pretty darn good.
Depending on the definition of pretty darn good, you're going to be okay, yeah.
You're going to be okay.
Not luxury.
You're not going to be choking your chicken every night wishing that it was some babe because you know you can get laid, okay? I hate to be so broad base about this, Larry, but you know what? Let's face the facts. Nobody would have bought your ebook or bought your paperback book if it wasn't for the fact you talked about. I mean, you mentioned in the introduction of your book, this is not your typical quote travel guide of how to find great places to vacation. This is about a book about how to meet women because you're tired of the bullshit.
Well, how to live in the Philippines, and a big part of that is about women. Yeah.
Yes, it has to be. I mean, it has to be a factor into the equation because if it's not, it defies what Winston Wu is doing. And seriously, you have to look at all those angles.
Okay, but the book is more than about women. I mean, it's about the book is based on the fact that you're going to want to come to the Philippines because of the women. But once you decide to make the decision how to come here. To come here, then it's about all the other information you also need to live here. So it's not just about women. But certainly a big part of it is about women.
Oh, yeah, it is a big part of it because international travel and all of these different international websites are based on the fact that, you know, you meet a woman in the Ukraine or meet a woman in Russia or you meet a woman in the Philippines. We're not talking about most of these guys. And look at George Sedini, that guy that went out and shot those women and killed himself. He was a guy that was very lonely. Now, I'm not saying I advocate what he did. I think it was terrible that he got brainwashed by the pickup artist community. But he was a guy that very well – he had the finances to live in the Philippines for the next 20 years on his savings and his economic situation. And we have to look at the fact that this is why people are attracted to this. That what's why if the Philippines was so attractive, it was not based on the dating scene, why wouldn't any American women live there? Why is it you walk the streets of Manila and you hardly see white British women or
No, it's about the women. I agree with you. There's no question
yes,
about
Yes, it's
that.
About the friggin' women. I'm not going to sit there and make let's just like I think it's ridiculous for us to do this interview and pretend like the women issue doesn't play a factor. It's probably 75-80% of the factor. We could talk about Obama's piece of shit healthcare plan that's going to force people to buy healthcare. I can see. I don't want to be paying his healthcare because I think it's a scam. It's a corporate scam. But you know the women issue.
Well, I think it's about two big things: the women and the lower price of the low price of living. You know, those
exactly.
Two combined.
And what reward do you get out of the United States? You work hard, you have a career, you bust your butt off, you're a hardworking American, you got lots of friends. I mean, I'm a school teacher, okay? I have 100 to 200 students that admire me and revere me for my knowledge, but it doesn't get me a woman, okay? Now, do you think there are maybe a million guys in America who are in that same situation that have said, that's the reason I want to go to another country? Maybe
sure.
Thought about it.
Okay.
They're not going to set you up with their sister. You know, just because you're a good physics instructor and you're a single guy doesn't mean that, oh, wow, you know, Mr. Professor Harris, I admire you. I got a sister I'm going to set you up with. They're not going to do that. You know they're not going to do that.
Okay, it's so getting back.
Yeah.
So getting back to the Philippines about prices, is there any more specific questions that you have? You said you wanted to keep it on track as far as cost.
Okay.
Is there any more specific questions? I gave you a general.
I want to make it clear that if a guy goes to the Philippines, what are the taxes like there? Okay. Do they have the high taxes like the United States?
No, there's no. Well, if you're not making money here, you don't have any taxes.
Okay.
It's not an issue.
Okay.
Unless you're making money, and I don't propose that you should be. As I've said, I don't think the thing to do is come here and plan on working. This is a place to retire.
Right. Okay. So you
or to live off the internet.
Here's the question I have to you. Your perspective is in your book, in your from what I've talked to you is that nobody can expect anything grand as far as making money there. Well, then my question is that the only option you have is from your perspective. How do you know your perspective is the only perspective? You seem to think that the only way to really come to the Philippines is if you have money already and you're willing to retire. You obviously have a savings account that's unlimited at this point where you probably could live the next, 10 years there based on your savings?
I'm hoping to make my savings last till I get my Social Security. But anyways,
Okay. So you're living on savings. Then there's no future for a guy that maybe has a skill, but he's just maybe hoping to maybe take that skill and use it somewhere. Now,
the only skill that you might be able to transfer really is
teaching English, right?
Well, that and also if you're a businessman, maybe you can start a business here.
Okay, so between being a businessman and teaching English or teaching, you really have no other thing that you can offer them that can use your luxury. You could be the best plumber in the world. You're still going to work for $7 a day or whatever.
That's true.
Okay.
And for example, suppose you were a doctor and you decided to come here. And I don't know what the laws are as far as transferring your medical degree, but just let's forget that issue for now. Let's just say you were a doctor. Well, maybe you're making $200,000 in the States. You're still going to make a good salary for a Filipino as a doctor, but your salary might be, you know, $20,000 a year, which is good for a Filipino.
Oh yeah, that's huge.
Terrible
yeah.
for a doctor.
Yeah.
In the States.
Right. I see what you're saying. It makes sense. I have a lot of thoughts about this, and then I'm thinking about maybe living like maybe there are 6 months of the year, like maybe making enough money every – living like a pauper in the United States in a one-room efficiency for 6 months and then just transferring over to the Philippines for 6 months. Those are all possibilities because if you think about it, Larry, I don't know what other options there really are. If you can't make enough money in the Philippines, then you should live maybe – 6 months in the States, 6 months in the Philippines. Have you ever heard of people that have done that?
Yeah, there are people that do that. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of people that do that. The other thing is, I lost my train of thought.
Live with your sister or live with your brother, live with your cousin, save $10,000 every 6 months, and then by the time you save that money, you can just make a trip to the Philippines and boom, you're living like a king for 6 months.
The other thing is if women is your main concern, you can come to the Philippines and you can find a woman.
Oh, no, Larry, we're not talking about bringing her back to the States. That's a recipe for disaster. Because if you bring her back to the States within a short period of time, she's going to realize her value on the market and it's all over. You know it. I mean, come on. She's going to go to the mall and get hit by 50 guys in one day. How is that going to work in your favor?
Well, you have a good point. And sometimes it's going to work and sometimes it's not. But you definitely have a good point. It is a much riskier thing to do.
It's extreme. I think when the first interview you said to me it's the only way to live. The only way to live in the Philippines with a woman is to go over there and stay there. No, that wasn't you. There was another guy I interviewed, and I'll tell you what he said to me. I had brought up all the different scenarios, and he says, he was telling me about all the manipulation that men try to use in the dating scene. I says, well, it looks like the only logical solution is to live in a foreign country. He says, it's the only way. He said, it's absolutely the only way. So I'm assuming that that's probably the situation, that if you really want to meet a good Filipino woman to marry or date, you're probably better off just staying in that country, which I think is logical. You bring her to the States, you got every friggin' – your best friend's going to be hitting on her the day you bring her over.
Yeah, it is the better – in my opinion, it's the better solution, but not everybody can do that. It still might – there are people that bring back Filipino women and they have good lives. It works out for them. There are people that bring it back and it's a disaster. I mean, it's not 100% one way or the other. There is a chance you can find a great woman to bring back and it'll be okay. Right. There's a chance it'll be a disaster. For one thing, once you bring her back to the States, the laws are no longer in your favor. If you marry,
I agree. And you know what the funny thing was? Coincidentally, I consulted the advice of a Filipino woman about a month ago about this whole situation, and I explained to her, and she said to me, one thing she said to me that really haunted me was, if you're a girl really wants sex, she can get it anytime she wants. She wouldn't say that in the Philippines, but she knows her value on the market in the States. American men are obviously so desperate for women that she already realizes that even at age 40, that if she really, quote, wants sex, she can get it anytime she wants.
But there are some women that they're going to marry you and they're just going to be true to you because that's their attitude, I'm not saying all of them. I mean, you do have a chance. For some men, that might be the only option they have. They can't come and live in the Philippines. They have a job and they can't do it. So for them, the option is to bring back a woman. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. You can't say it never works. But
now, Larry, I want to make a point here. You've given me your perspective. Everything is subjective. Every person's situation is different. When I interviewed that guy, Steve, Steve had said to me he didn't agree with things you said. You didn't agree with things he said. So is everything all based on everybody's individual experience? Because if you go to the Philippines, we all agree the women's situation is going to be better than the States. But you're kind of painting a more pessimistic that, if you want to live here, you're going to – still have
well,
to.
Well, first of all, I don't think you could compare me to Steve N because he's been here a very short time.
Well, he said he made five or six trips there. Okay. Obviously, he doesn't have the experience you have, but also you've been married to one woman for 9 years. That doesn't paint a perspective of being able to gallivant and date and screw lots of women either.
Well, I'm not going to go into my personal life.
Okay.
Because I don't feel comfortable with it broadcasting it. But okay. But I'll just talk about other married men. There's lots of married men that are married and they fool around, and it's no big deal.
Okay, and I'm not saying you
sort
do.
Of the culture in the Philippines.
We're not insinuating you do, but you can be married over there. And by the way, there might be an incentive to be married because if you're married there, you don't have to keep updating your passport. Am I correct? Or your visa?
That's correct. Yeah, if you get a permanent residence.
You don't have to be paying all that ridiculous money that, it's so, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right about that. You're right. It's not going to be broadcast. Your wife ain't going to know about this, but you haven't admitted to anything, so we're okay.
I'm not going to discuss my personal life because that's going to get into a can of worms. I don't want to do that. I'm going to talk about the general situation. And
okay,
There's lots of foreigner men. They get married, and they still have sex outside their marriage. And it's pretty more or less accepted here in the Philippines. That's the way it works.
Right. Hey, by the way, you know, Larry, I don't mean to sound like I'm being bold. It's kind of late at night and stuff, but you know, I'm being very forward because I feel the reason why I'm being forward with you and not reserving my conversation. Winston Wu has, when I read his articles, I realized how bold he really is. He just says it like he means it, and he doesn't hide any feelings he has. You know, and I thought, why hide the fact that you're a guy that wants to go? Like, Winston Wu wrote an article one time a couple years ago that said something about what's wrong with sexual tourism, and he was trying to debunk the idea that in the West we look down on it like it's some creepy thing, but yet we have legal pornography. You know, and I think you just have to be very forward about my intentions. Like, my intentions to go to the Philippines are probably 70% based on the women issue. I'm not going to hide that fact. Because if I said, well, it's only 22% of the problem, it's other reasons, my job, it is the women issue. I'm tired of working hard my ass at a job and then coming home and then realizing that no woman finds me attractive because even though I'm the best teacher in my subject, it doesn't even make a difference, you know? Guys, there's so many guys that are frustrated with this. So economically speaking, I want to let people know that $1,000 a month is the bottom line. You need to, if you want to live fairly good and have a good income and have a girlfriend or two, $1,000 a month. I'm glad we talked about that.
Yeah. That's my opinion. Now, that doesn't mean you can't live on less, but, you know, you're not going to live the way you want to live on less. And it's going to be hard for you to maintain a girlfriend on less than $1,000 a month.
No, sounds like
because why would they want you if you have no more money than somebody else?
How about your white? Filipino? How about your white and better looking? Do they find white guys?
You know, that's what they'll get. Say all kinds of things. Okay, like they think white guys are better in relationships to this or that. But the truth of the matter is, it comes down to economics. Okay,
that's your opinion, Larry. I've talked to a few people about this, and they've already emailed me and says they don't agree with your opinion on the economics. You think that the only thing that this is based on is economics?
That's right, I do.
Okay, so guys that have gone to the Ukraine and Russia, the women dress beautifully. They dress in beautiful clothes. They're not poor. They have their own one or two room apartments. And they're looking for American men, so I guess it may be...
Okay. I don't agree with you that they're not poor. I bet you they are poor.
You think those beautiful Ukrainian women are poor?
I think the ones that are looking for people from the States...
They don't look fat. They have nice, skinny bodies. They're well-toned. They look like they exercise. They look like they walk.
It's the same in the Philippines. You can have beautiful women, absolutely beautiful, stunning. They're slim, they're beautiful, they're sexy, and they dress nice, and they're clean. You could never tell by looking at them that they don't have money.
Okay. All right, so then you're saying that economics is ultimately the bottom line in this whole international dating scene. It's all economics. It has nothing to do with the fact that you're an American guy that's nicer.
No, the truth of the matter is it doesn't. I mean, you talk to any hardcore expats that have been here a long time, and they'll tell you the same thing. I mean, not that the women are – it's kind of hard to explain. It's not that they're thinking that way all the time or that they shove that in your face or that they won't learn to love you, but – if you really just think about it, why would they be interested in an older guy from another country if it wasn't for the fact that they could have a better life out of it? That's
yeah, but Larry, the question ask you is this. You're married to this woman. I mean, you're not married to some 18-year-old girl by any means, but you're ultimately living your life knowing that my marriage is based on my economic status. Am I correct?
Well, it is, like I said, it starts out that way.
Okay, but it evolves.
Of course, it evolves, and you know, they, it's not really that different than the United States. I mean, if you're an uneducated schmo, okay, in the United States, you don't have any job, and you don't have a college education, and you try to get a higher class woman, even suppose you have a great, let's just take hypothetically, okay, let's say you don't have a college education, you don't have a good job, you're poor. But you have a good personality. You have a really good personality. You think in the United States you're going to be able to attract a higher class woman? No, they're not going to be interested. They're going to ask, where do you do for work? I'm unemployed. Well, oh, how do you live? Well, I don't live very much money. I borrow some money from my mother. Oh, well, you could get a good job, right? You have an education now. I quit when I was 16 years old in high school. Do you think you're going to get a woman? No, you're not. So, you know, but once you do get a woman, And that woman is going to choose you because of various things that you have that, you know, then after that, of course, the relationship changes, you fall in love, you know, you learn to love each other or like each other. So it's like that in the Philippines too. I'm not saying that the woman that you ultimately meet is just going to be looking down her nose at you thinking, oh, I'm just using this guy for money. No, it's
okay, but Larry, then this brings up the confirmation of what we all know is true. There are plenty of American guys, and we're talking economics, so we're not getting off the subject here. We promised it would be economics. What we're saying basically is that if a guy is some nerdy guy with Asperger's and he's got a good personality and he makes $80,000 a year living in an average sized city, which is not like New York, which would, $80,000 would be nothing, but let's say he lives in Detroit. He makes $80,000 a year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he can't get a girlfriend and yet he's a nice guy. It proves one thing, that the expectations in that society have got nothing to do with money. It's about looks and other crap that,
well,
artificially.
It's a little different. Here's why. Because the woman can survive without a man. You see, the women are not so poor that they're miserable. So they don't
in America
need a guy to get out of that.
Wait, where?
In America.
Right. You're absolutely right. They can survive very easily. Okay. So
that's why it's different.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying.
And like I said, you're talking about whether it's because white guys are better or they're nicer or like that. Like I said, just look at the different countries. Try to go to Japan.
Larry, you know what it sounds to me like you're almost saying is that feminism is here to stay, and that everywhere you go in the country, women look down on men unless they've got something to offer. And it sounds like feminism, because feminism has destroyed the United States, okay? It is a fucking nightmare. I'm sorry, pardon my language. Okay, but what you're saying is that the Philippines is just a more subtle version of feminism, but because they don't have money, it's the same exact shit. It doesn't sound very encouraging at all.
Well, that's not the way I would put it. You're interpreting me as being negative, but I'm not being negative at all.
Okay.
In my own mind, I'm not being negative. I'm just saying, what is their rationale between why can a 60-year-old guy come over here and get a 20-year-old beautiful woman? It's because the 60-year-old guy can provide a better life to the 20-year-old woman. That's the reality. I don't see that as a negative.
How about a 40-year-old guy dating a 30-year-old woman? Let's close down the gap. I'm 40. I'll be 40 in October. And I have two women I've talked to that are like in their early 30s, okay? That's not that big of an age group. That's not enough for a woman to want to say, oh, I gotta marry a rich American. I mean, come on, 31. In this country, a woman's 45, she thinks she's a princess, but, you know, I mean, 31, I mean, I'm contented dating even a Filipina that's 32, 33. You know, that doesn't make me dropping the cradle if I'm 7 years older than her.
No, of course not. What's your point?
My point is that you're talking about the extremes of the economics, and obviously, if a 60-year-old guy is dating a 20-year-old Filipina, I think common sense would dictate that money has a huge factor in it, because
that's the way most of the relationships are. I mean, most of the men that come here, that might be a little extreme, but for example, it wouldn't be at all extreme for a 55-year-old guy to come and be with a 23-year-old woman. That would be extremely common and not at all unusual. And in fact, most of the guys that come here, they don't want 35-year-old women. They want.
I don't have a problem with it. Maybe my standards are different. I'm not against. There's a lot of. I've talked to two women online that are virgins that are in their early 30s, and that does not. And you talked about in your book about the older virgins. I don't have a problem with a woman that's maybe saved herself for religious reasons, because my standards are different. So economic, you can't say that every single Filipino woman out there is just looking for some Trojan horse, some guy with a lot of money. And I mean, it's
well, there are
I,
some
I,
other.
I might as well hire a prostitute if I can go to the States and stay here, not spend the money.
There are some other factors too, besides just the money. And one of the, you just touched on one of them, and that is that Filipino men are kind of particular about certain things that Westerners are less particular about. So Filipino men, by the time a woman is in their 30s, they're not much interested in a woman that's 30. And the other thing is, a Filipino man is not really interested in a woman that has a baby. Okay, so above and beyond the economics, there's those two factors that come into play. So there might be a woman that's had a single mom that's had a baby. She's 25 years old now, and she's still sexy and she has a good personality and everything else. And she would be happy to be with a Filipino man if she could, but Filipino men are not interested in her because she has a baby. They don't want that.
Right.
That's in their culture. They
well,
hate
then
that
even all the more encourages maybe American men to date a girl with a kid or over 30 because both of those scenarios work in their favor.
That's correct.
Okay.
Everything works in your favor.
Listen, Larry, I don't want you to get the impression I'm having a heated discussion. I'm not trying to debate you because I know you're a lot much smarter than me on this subject, but I'm asking these emotionally driven questions because I honestly want my viewer, my listeners, and myself even to know what are they going to be up against when they go to this country. And by the way, I'm laser focusing my energy on the Philippines. I could say the Ukraine, Russia, Latvia, but I'm saying the Philippines because I want to know right what to expect when I go there.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, I just want to really get down to one point that I disagree with you on, and that is that you say I'm being negative. And I don't feel like I'm being negative at all. I really don't.
You're being realistic is a better word. You're just.
I just feel like I'm telling what the trade-offs are and how it is. The bottom line is you're going to come here and you're going to find a great woman to be with, and that's what you want, okay? And you're going to live at a very low price. So I don't see how that's being negative.
No, but you're saying that the economics is an incentive. So for a guy to think that he's going to get a free ride, he's out of his mind because the women aren't just going to marry you because you're blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white guy at age 40. They're going to be with you because you have an economical base that's better than the average Filipina.
That's right. But you have to remember, it's not like – they want somebody that's rich. They just want the comforts of regular life. You know, it's a big difference between, let's say, a gold digger in this. Let's say there's a gold digger in the States, and she's looking for a rich guy so she can have cars, she can have a beautiful house and a swimming pool. That's not the situation here. Here, the women are just looking for a comfortable life. That's it. They're not looking, for huge amounts of money or somebody to be rich. If you could just provide them a comfort, so that's kind of a what it is there,
Right.
And as far as like women wanting something, I mean, that's just sort of, you look even in the animal world, you'll see it all over the place. The bird that makes the, if you look at birds, they'll have the one that makes the biggest nest. That's the one that gets the.
Yes, I know. But let's not, you're getting into, I agree with that, but every time I hear that, I think of these pickup artists, they always use these analogies of birds, okay, and octopuses and stuff. What I really want to get down to is the fact that, okay, we're dealing with human nature. Why it isn't quite like that, because in the Philippines, the men obviously don't play by the rules. These heterosexual Filipino guys are obviously not pussy whipped like men in the United States. Am I correct? I mean, men, I see men every day. They just get dragged by the testicles. The woman just walks all over them. This is just the norm where in the Philippines, it's not like that. In most countries, it's not like that, except for the West, maybe.
Well, yeah, it's really, for one thing, you have one thing that really you can't really downplay, but it has a huge subtle effect, or not so subtle effect. It sounds subtle, but it's really a pretty big effect, is the fact that there's no divorce in the Philippines.
Yes, a very big factor. I totally agree with that 100%, that the factor of the divorce rate obviously has a huge factor, but go ahead.
Well, not the divorce rate. There is no divorce.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's legal. Okay. Divorce in the Philippines is not an option. You can't do it. And so you have men married to Filipino women, and these men can have affairs with impunity.
That's not me personally. But yes, that's not a bad option for a guy that maybe, my dad was telling me something interesting. He said that in the country of Italy, it was common for an Italian guy to have an affair with a woman, a mistress, while his wife was pregnant. And she would put up with it because she knew that, hey, if her best friend was screwing her husband, at least he wasn't screwing a prostitute or something. So it's adultery is pretty much accepted in almost every culture, except for, of course, the United States and England. And most cultures accepted to some degree. I think for the most part, British and Americans are, oh, we're so bloody Puritan. Oh, you cheated on me, and all that stuff. I'm not saying it's a good alternative because I'm not a cheater because I have feelings for a woman, but I understand that it's reality. And I don't think that an adulterous affair, as long as the guy takes care of the woman, it may not be such a bad thing too.
Yeah, well, it's a matter of opinion. I'm just saying the way it is that you were asking if the women are quote unquote pussy whipped, and in the United States the laws are so much against the woman. Like if you had an affair in the United States, then the woman caught you, and then she decided to make an issue of it and divorce you. The fact that she could prove that you had the affair, then she's going to get a huge settlement in the divorce. It just becomes a.
And if she cheats on you and it's not your fault, it's a no-fault divorce, and she still gets half of what you have. It's a lose-lose situation. You know, I'll tell you something. I want men to know that the situation in the United States is the worst case scenario. It can only, I have a theory about this, Larry. No matter how negative I might think my opinion is, or I think you're saying, that's just my opinion. Nothing could be worse than the United States. The divorce laws, the sexual lack of liberation that men have proves one thing, is that men, the situation's so bad in the United States that it could only get better anywhere else.
Yeah, and how about sexual harassment too? I mean, that's a big issue.
Yeah, I don't even get involved in that. If I work with,
I mean, the sexual harassment laws. I mean, they're ridiculous. You say you have a nice dress, and the next thing you know, you're fired or something like that.
Yeah, I don't even get involved in that. I mean, I work in my job. I just do my job, and there's a couple attractive women. I just pretend like they're just people, and that's it. I don't even deal with that. Oh, you look pretty, and all this other stuff. Because you know what? You get into that stuff, and just get ugly.
Well, that in the United States, that's my point, yeah.
Exactly. And Larry, I think that's pretty much the situation. I think you've pretty much hit on the economics. So the gist of it is $1,000 a month, you can live pretty well and have a woman in your life, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Anything else you want to add before I end this interview?
Just remember that when you're talking about the money, everything has its cost. Some things are very cheap and some things aren't.
Right.
Anything, you know, you're talking about, if you're talking about labor, very, very cheap. If you're talking about housing, very, very cheap. If you're talking about food, it's cheaper, but not as much cheaper as you might think.
Yeah.
If you're talking about hard goods like TV sets, electronics, as you pointed out, or cars, it's not any cheaper at all. And in fact, if you're talking about luxury items such as tennis rackets or golf clubs, you're going to pay more here than you would in the States.
Now, one other thing about going to the bar. I heard you said in your book that alcohol is very cheap there. Is that true?
That's true.
So if you wanted to become a drunk and live in the Philippines, you'd pretty much be in paradise, right?
That's right. If you're an alcoholic, the Philippines is paradise. And if you're a smoker, the Philippines is also paradise.
Yeah, it's like, here in Cleveland, Ohio, a pack of cigarettes is like almost what they pay. Well, I don't know, New York is probably more money, but it's like $6 a pack. Who would have ever dreamed all these taxes? You know what's funny? By the way, Larry, I know we're changing the subject.
50 pesos.
You know what's
funny? $1.
I remember when we lived when I was in Germany back in 1991, people used to want to import cigarettes from America to get the cheaper rates. Now Americans want to import cigarettes from Germany because the taxes are so fucking high here in America. It's insane. I mean, how things radically take a shift for the worst.
Yeah, well, I guess. I mean, you know, you can argue either way because smoking's not healthy. But the point is, in the Philippines, if you're a smoker, a pack of cigarettes costs you about 50 cents.
50 cents, okay. So 50 cents versus $6. Living rent costs you $150 a month for a decent place, and $1,000 a month to live comfortably. That sounds like a good deal to me, and you don't have to deal with sexual harassment and feminism and all that other bullshit and belligerent heterosexual cops that want to knock the shit out of you for just talking to a woman on the street, that kind of shit. Sounds like it's a better deal in the long run, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know.
I agree.
Okay. I'm gonna upload this interview to you before I put it out there. So if there's anything you disagree, I can just delete it, and that's fine. Okay.
Okay. But I think it's okay. I just wanted you to know, Larry.
I mean, I can't say we're close friends, but we're doing an interview show, and I admire your candidness. You're not selling this like a get rich quick scheme. Everything's positive. You're giving people the lowdown of what to expect. And by the way, the name of your website is what? It's Life and Love in the Philippines, or is it Love and Life in the Philippines?
No, Life and Love in the Philippines.com.
It's Life and Love in the Philippines.com. And if you want to look it up in the search engine, it's Larry, Larry Elterman, Elterman. You can Yahoo or Google that name. And
if you Google my last name, you'll get all my stuff.
Yeah. Yes, Elterman, Elterman. If you go on Amazon.com, you can find his book in paperback. I'd highly recommend it. I've read it, and I still keep getting more golden nuggets of your book because, Larry, your book is awesome. It really is, and I admire you for being honest about it and not trying to sell people on something that you're telling them everything from the legal perspective. We'll talk about other issues later, but I'm going to sign out of here now. Today's date is.
Well, can I just sum up one thing?
Okay.
And that is this whole issue about negative versus positive, because you thought I was being a little bit negative, and I. You know, I don't really see it as a big negative about this trade-off thing. You know, it's like, to me, it's like a man comes here, you can get a beautiful, young, attractive woman, they get a better life. It's
right.
You're each getting
something. By the way, here's another point to make for you, you stupid American feminists and you British woman feminists out there. The men that provide for these girls make a better life for them. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Well,
so every
95% of the time.
Go ahead. A feminist.
Well, you know, there's some assholes. There's some men that come here and you know they treat their women poor like any place.
Yes.
But yeah.
But most feminists like to make Larry Elterman out to be a loser that is just out to exploit women for sex or Winston or anybody else. And in reality, the men that date or marry these Filipino women are out there to make a better life for these women. So it's a win-win situation. It's not about,
absolutely.
You know, I have this theory that if American female senators could pass laws, they would microchip every guy that goes overseas with and make sure that he couldn't talk to a woman because, of course, sex is power in America and they want to keep it that way. But
hey, you made a very good point. I want to bring it up. And that is that a lot of the people in America, they would say if a older guy was with a younger woman, they would say you're taking advantage.
Yes, exactly. What option?
It's a very strong word I'm looking for. I can't think of it, but you're taking advantage. What's the stronger word for taking advantage
of a situation?
I'm looking for a very strong word. You're putting down these.
You're exploiting. Exploiting.
That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you. You're exploiting these women. That's. And that makes it sound like they're stupid.
Yes,
like,
yeah, exactly.
Like it's their own.
Yeah,
you're just coming there. You're exploiting it. You're not exploiting them. It's like you said. It's a win-win situation. They know what they're doing. They want a better life. You want a young, sexy woman to be with, a company, and you want a woman in your life. They want a better life. You're not exploiting them.
No, absolutely
they're not. Exploiting
not.
You.
Yeah. Okay. What other option do they have? Go back to their family and that date a Filipina guy that's going to not want them. Let's say if a girl's 25 and she got pregnant by another Filipina guy, okay? Filipino. So she's got a baby. No Filipino guy wants her. She's 25 years old. She's living with her mom and dad and she's looking for a better life. You're not exploiting her. You're giving her a better life. But the average American woman who's a feminist, and I don't give a shit if you women feminists are listening to this. I want you, hey, by the way, I want you guys that listen to this interview to play this for these feminist women. Let them know that you're doing a service to them. You're making their lives better by not dealing with this crap. Feminism has destroyed the West, particularly the United States and Great Britain, and we don't have to take this crap anymore. You know, I'm just laying it out on the line. Go ahead, Larry.
Well, I think that – okay. I mean I think that's basically what I just wanted to say. You're not taking advantage of them.
No, right.
And they're not taking advantage of you. Somebody could say, oh, all they want you for is the money. They're just gold diggers. They could say that. Or they could say, oh, you don't care. You're just exploiting them. Look at you. You're an older guy. You're taking advantage of these. And the truth is you're not exploiting them and they're not exploiting you. Okay.
Oh, and the one I love with American women is you just want to get laid. You know, it's like I had one woman respond to one of my videos I did on YouTube. I was complaining about the dating scene. She goes, I just want you women to know that these guys just want to get laid. It's like a powerful weapon that they use. Like, you just want to get laid. You know, it's like, no, it isn't just about getting laid. How about I'm a man and I want to be treated like a man for the last 6,000 years has been treated. And I'm sick of feminism and all the bullshit. And I'm not going to put up with it anymore. And you know what? American women can go fuck off because, and I'm not saying all American women, but most of the single women out there that have used this pussy whipped that you just want to get laid, they can go to hell as far as I'm concerned.
Well, let's face it. I mean, sex is only – it's an important part of life, but you don't live your whole life having sex.
No! I mean, I'm a teacher in a trade school. I teach plumbing. I teach air conditioning. I teach electricity. My life is so centered around my students that if I had 10% of my time to a good woman, that would be great. So I hope you heterosexual female American women know this is not just about you just want to get laid. Because that's what American women bank on. They love that pussy power. And guess what? At some point, it's going to come to an end, but it's going to, in the meantime, men need to look for options.
Well, you know, I mean, you could say they have a point because why, if the man just wanted, let's just say you wanted to have companionship in a woman in your life.
Oh, you ain't going to fight in the United States. Larry, I would love to have companionship with an American woman. It isn't going to happen unless.
Okay, but just let me make my point. I'm going to play the devil's advocate, okay, against you. I mean, I'm not really agreeing with this, but I'm just going to play the devil's advocate. You could say, well, if it's really companionship and you can't get a woman at all, why is it that these men come here and they want young women? Why don't they get women their own age? It's because of this, because of the sex thing. You know, that's what you could argue.
Let me give you my rebuttal to that. Okay.
I'll
give you my rebuttal to that. I will say to you that I'll be 40 years old this year, and I'd be dying to date a 40-year-old woman. But guess what? They want nothing to do with most guys because they know that they got options up the Richter scale. You know, 40, this is what I've told Winston Wu, has said, well, I don't really care for 40-year-old women. They're too old for me. I said, Winston, speak for yourself. And I said this to him the other day when we talked. I says, I am interested in 40-year-old women, but guess what? They've got women that are 40 years old are put on the pedestal so high today. And I'm in America, so I see this every day. A 40-year-old woman is treated like a 25-year-old today. It's unbelievable. Okay. So,
but let me ask you a question. Let's suppose you come here to the Philippines and you're thinking to yourself, I'd be perfectly happy with a 35-year-old woman. You're thinking that to yourself. Then you come here to the Philippines and you see other guys your age or even older with 25-year-old women. There's not any part of you that says, gee, I can get a 25-year-old woman. Why should I get a 35 or a 40-year-old woman?
Because the 35-year-old woman could have a great could be sexually very erotic. I mean, I'm talking to two women online right now that I could just rip their clothes off and I could kiss them from head to toe. And no, I don't think it's the age because Filipino women still look pretty good in their 30s and 40s. It's not about the sex. I mean, it is a physical thing, but it's not about the age. American women have milked the system too far. Valerie Bertinelli, is 49 years old. They treat her like she's 27-year-old princess because she lost all this weight on Jenny Craig. Now she's a goddess and she probably thinks she can date 27-year-old guys. I'm sick of this fucking crap. Larry, no, it's not about I would not be jealous to see a 65-year-old guy with a 20-year-old woman. If I met a 31-year-old Filipino woman and she had good morals, I would be very satisfied with that. And I want to throw that in your face, you women out there that think it's just about sex. It's not. It's about dignity. I'm a man. I'm not going to take the crap, and most men should not feel the obligation to take the crap from American women. But Larry, I commend you for posing that question because it's a very good question.
Yeah, I mean, not all men are the same. There are lots of men that are happy with women closer to their own age. But let's face the facts. The majority of men that come here, they can find a much younger woman, and they choose to do that.
But a woman at 32 or 35 is still fertile. She can have babies to 45. A 35-year-old woman can still make healthy babies. I don't disagree with – I mean, I don't think you disagree with that.
No, I don't.
Okay.
No, lots of men do like women. There are lots of men who come here and they say, I don't want a very, very young woman because they're too immature. Or I just want somebody of my own. There are guys like that.
More than my likely, I'm going to get on Filipina heart. I think I'm going to not settle. I don't want to use that term. I want to find a Filipino woman probably close to 30 or 35, between that age. I'm not looking for 18, 20. That's too immature. 30 to 35 would be a good age for me, but it's not about the sex. It's not about you just want to get laid. And I hate this mentality that American women have. That one woman that responded to one of my videos, she goes, oh, you just want to get laid. You know, I thought, this is what her whole gist was, that you just want to get laid, as if that's a sin in and of itself. But it's not about that, you know. And these, just the economics. We're getting off the subject. We're not off the subject, but you know, I think we've pretty much hammered it home what we have to talk about. You know, what we plan on talking about.
Okay.
Well, let's.
I don't have a lot else. I don't have anything particular else to say at this point. Unless
okay, Larry, I'm gonna send you the audio link to this video or this audio file. Today's date is August 19th, 2010. It's 2:35 Eastern a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you've been a great interviewee. And Larry, your book is called Life and Love in the Philippines, and you can go
to the website. The book is called A Man's Guide to Life and Love in the Philippines,
and that's on Amazon.com. And it's got great I think you've had a 4.5 out of 5 stars, so you're definitely on a roll. Okay.
Thank you.
You have a good one. Bye bye.
Bye bye.